Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raise Nation Radio, broadcasting live from AFP Icon here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. I'm your host, Steve Lausch from One Cause, and I'm thrilled to be here at AFP Icon, where fundraisers from around the world are coming together to elevate impact and spark some change. As a proud Icon sponsor, One Cause is excited to celebrate the innovation, the passion, and some incredible work happening across the nonprofit sector. So stay tuned. We've got powerful conversations, fresh insights, and the energy of the AFP International Conference coming your way. All right, we're back at the One Cause booth and Raise Nation Radio studio here live at AFP Icon 2025. And I have Bart Lilly from Synergy sitting across from me here in studio. Bart, great to have you. Thanks for stopping by.
I love it. Thank you for the invitation. It's so good to be here.
Yeah, hey, listen, I know that you are working the show and shaking hands. You got great connections, and that means you're having fantastic, meaningful conversation with a lot of people. What are you learning? What are you hearing? What's the pulse?
Well, AFP is an amazing, this is a great conference in a lot of ways. And there's thousands of people. Mm-hmm. You can't meet them all. Mm-hmm. There's sessions happening at the same time. You can't go to them all. But the one thing that I love about this conference and others, that this one in particular, it's the community over the content. Like, it's the people that you come and you get to meet them again. You met them last year, the year before. And I think there's a lot of great content. You can always find the content in different ways, but to actually be in person with the community. And even if you're an introvert, you're like, I want that one-on-one conversation with somebody
you
for lunch.
You can find that.
You can have that. Yeah. So as fundraisers, it can be hard to do what we do on the regular, but when we're in it together and you realize, you look somebody in the eye and you say, hey, this is what I do. And me too. That kind of connection, that kind of community is really strong.
It's strong. It goes a long way. And I know a mutual contact of ours talks about this as being like camp.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's a physical manifestation of that harmony and that resonance. Everybody keys into the same, this is what I'm in it for. And
yeah.
It's so rejuvenating.
Yeah. It's a great place. It is exhausting on some level too. We all come home and we're
true.
Like, okay, where's my bed? And I need to just kind of slow down. And to, even for me, I'm a massive extrovert. Like, let's go, go, go.
Yeah.
I'll ride the train all the way to the end of the line at night, you know, with one group to the next group. But I need the break at the end.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone listening to this, if they are here at the show going home, hearing this in a couple days, they'll be nodding right along with you, Bart, saying that was me for sure. Tell me, what are some of the things you're hearing? Because obviously you're talking with partners, you're talking with tech vendors, you're talking with consultants, you're talking with nonprofits.
Yeah. So a couple of the conversations that might stand out to me, like the retention piece, the mid-level donors,
for sure,
super important in those cases. But really, I think it's super important to even just have that relationship with our donors, and that comes through conversation. Real time is better than one-way communication, mm-hmm. if possible. It's not always possible. It's hard to scale that kind of thing because you can't scale. You can scale an email. You can scale direct mail to a degree, but if we can have a one-to-one, a real-time conversation, that's super powerful. That happens on the mid-level space. It can happen through phone-based engagement, whether it's a text exchange
or
donor calls, like a conference call, that kind of a thing. Those things are ways where we can actually have conversations with our donors that make a difference.
Texting is powerful.
It is. It's super real-time. Like, it will be it is a way to get your message into the pocket or the purse of your donor. They have it with them. I mean, the don't leave home without it jingle from way back when that American Express said, don't leave home without it. You know, that was a credit card, but that's not the reality anymore. The don't leave home without it is our phone. Most likely everyone who's listening to this has their phone within arm's reach.
Oh, I do, right here.
It's in my pocket. It's in my hand. It's right here on my table. Or they're listening to it through the podcast on their phone. And so it is a super reachable technology that I think we are going to see more and more involvement.
And it's a communication bridge. I don't want to say just like email, but in the way that email is a communication bridge, so is text. in the way that phone, a call, is a communication bridge, so is texting. But the beauty of texting is, as you said, you're going to get that message. It's going to get in front of eyeballs and fast.
Absolutely. Most people will see their text land on their phone in a matter of seconds.
Seconds, correct.
And in the 90% will have read it in the first 3 minutes. So especially in those situations, if you're a nonprofit that has kind of like urgency appeals in the sense of like this breaking thing just happened, or we have an event happening in real time. Those are the kinds of things where a text message can be super impactful because it actually cuts into their story of life with your story of what's happening.
But it invites them to be part of that story.
Yeah. Welcome, and they get to see it like while it's happening, which is really powerful.
I love that. And maybe one final thought is that we can be sending solicitations. We can be seeking donations through text, but is it possible I could just be reaching out and let somebody know the impact of the gift they had or thanking
Absolutely.
Them for, right?
Yeah, it's what's so fun about the text message is it can be really creative, and you can use it in a number of ways. It could be a membership request. It could be a thank you is a super easy way to do it. I think that even some campaigns can be like a multiple back and forth, and you can ask for a specific question like, would you like to hear more about this kind of aspect of our nonprofit or this aspect? And you invite them to engage back with you. Like, do you want to hear more about our work with children or our work with, you know, immigrants or our work with animals or whatever the nonprofit
whatever
like,
it is.
You've got a bunch of little stories and you can ask about those stories, which is your favorite. And you invite them to engage back with you. And you learn data about what's important to them.
Awesome. Great stuff. Bart Lilly from Synergy joining us here on Raise Nation Radio at AFP Icon. Bart, thanks so much for stopping by and sharing a few of your thoughts with us.
Love it. Thanks.
All right, welcome back to Raise Nation Radio here at AFP Icon 2025. I have been able to, and I've been chasing you down for a little bit the last couple of days, Josh Meyer. But I have Josh Meyer, VP Market Engagement from Bloomerang, joining us in the Raise Nation Radio studio here. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Steve, for having me. This is such a pleasure to sit down in conversation with you. I've been sort of bopping around the expo hall here, and it's just great to be able to take a moment and catch up here.
I appreciate that, and it's always a pleasure, and I always look for you at the show. So much history. So we'll leave it at that and move on to my first question, because, you know, you and I were just talking about offline about the Fundraising Effectiveness Project and some of the data that came out there. Good, bad, up, down? What's your take on it?
Yeah. So are you familiar with the Fundraising Effectiveness Project? So real quick overview. Fundraising Effectiveness Project is a project out of the Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP. And it is a collective sort of effort with a number of the data providers. So the CRM. So Bloomerang is obviously in it.
For sure.
Our friends at Donor Perfect, Neon, there's a number of them. And we anonymize all the data in our CRMs. And then we actually Giving Tuesday, the data scientists at Giving Tuesday sort of analyze the trends with that sort of aggregated data. So we're not just looking at Bloomerang or Neon or Virtuous or Donor Perfect data, right? You're looking at the whole industry as a sector. And then what we're able to do is really extrapolate some high-level trends and understand, you know, how is the industry doing? It's been going on for, I think, almost 20 years here. We're probably in nearing. And so we just released the Q4 data, which is the totality of 2020. Oh, geez, where are we?
We're
what
in
city and what state are we in? 24 in 24. The totality of 2024. And some interesting sort of trends sort of popped out. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, because I know you got a couple that are top of mind that I'm sure the audience would find very interesting.
Yeah. So I think, you know, overall fundraising dollars were up is what we saw when we looked at the data. And it was about up by 3.5%, which is good.
I was going to say initially that sounds
good.
That does sound good, right? It is good. I think the sort of the head scratcher or sort of the thing to be a little bit more worried is a strong word, but, you know, concerned or focused on, right? Yeah. I think is just the overall number of donors. So, yeah, so that dropped about 4.5%. And then I think that sort of the bigger call out there is those small dollar donors, right? So donors that are between $1 and $100, right? That dropped by about 8.8%.
Okay.
So you're looking at me, Steve. You're like, well, how can the money, you know, the total revenue goes up,
yeah,
right? But the number of donors goes down, yes, right? The big trend there is that we're seeing more dollars from higher net worth individuals and less from these smaller dollar donors. And
right.
So the, you know, how do you fix that, right?
And that's a great question, because that beautiful base of small donors, there's so much reach and so much groundswell of support. It's not always the donation too, right, Josh?
Right.
It's given by time and talent and other ways of giving, but at the end of the day, that dollar is needed.
Yeah, right. And so then how do you steward that relationship, right?
Right.
Becomes part of that question.
Yeah, so that kind of gets you into the waters of retention. And how are we going to keep those donors if they are seeming to trail off, at least at the grand scale? Any
right.
thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, I think retention is so, so important. Hold on one second. We're getting water. Probably going to have to be an edit, but if not, it's going to be a funny segment here as we get a little frog in my throat. Apologize.
This is everything they can cut.
Oh, geez. All right. Oh, now I'm throwing things. All right. Poor Steve. All right. So this is everything. And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're
retention.
Back. You know, Steve, I do a lot of public speaking on this, and one of the things I always ask is I'll have everyone raise their hand and say, you know, how many of you have a Costco membership? My hands go up, right? Steve's hand just went up, right? My hand goes up. And then I ask the audience, I say, all right, lower your hand, right, if you cancel your membership after a year, right? Or you don't pay for that second year. And you know what happens? All those hands stay up.
That's right.
Because it's just automatic.
Yeah.
Right? And Costco does a really good job of sort of stewarding their donors, their customers,
right?
And so it's something I think we can, as nonprofits and as fundraisers, it's kind of thinking like, how can we pull some of these learnings from these for-profit businesses and apply them to nonprofits? And, you know, one of the things I like to talk about when we're talking about retention is it's thanking, right? It's thanking those donors, right? And so whenever someone makes a gift, right, you gotta thank them, right? And that, you know, you can do that automatic receipt from your fundraising platform, from your online fundraising platform. But really, I think you need to take another step, right? Whether that's some sort of paper, and it could be a mail merged letter, right? But some sort of acknowledgement, a little bit more of a personalized email, right? We're seeing texting, right, come into play to do with acknowledgements, right? If it's a larger gift, right, I think it makes a lot of sense to pick up the phone.
For
and just
sure.
Really, you know, don't make another ask, but just thank them and appreciate them, right? So really trying to build that relationship. And then the next thing, right, I think is just informing, right? You got to inform that donor where that money went. How did you use it? How did you, nonprofit, what program did that support? Or did that help with general operating so that you can keep the lights on, right? And so that can come in a number of ways, right? It could be a newsletter, right? It could be part of other programming. You're kind of sharing like what has happened. It could be an individual phone call or a donor visit, right? But you got to tell these donors where their money is going, because otherwise they're not going to give again.
I love that. And I think back, Josh, and I know you're familiar with this research, but I think back to our giving experience study that we put out on an annual basis.
Yeah.
And year after year after year after year, the donors are telling us, hey, you got to make it easy, which I want to come back to in just a second.
Yeah.
You have to connect me to your mission, and I need to know that my money has, my gift, my donation, whatever value I bring to you, has made an impact, and where that impact is being made. And you really just hit on those last two.
Yeah.
Because when I think, and when I pick up the phone or a handwritten note or something that is personal, personalized email, I have an opportunity to reconnect with that mission, and I have an opportunity to explain that impact. Is that fair?
Exactly. We did research, we did a generational giving study over at Bloomering last year, and same thing. Sort of, why do people stop giving? They're not informed. That was like one of the top reasons amongst all of the generations.
Yeah.
Right? It was like people just didn't know where their money was being, how it was being used. And so if we don't inform our donors, they don't feel like they're part of this community.
Right.
Right? They feel like it's a very transactional.
And then they fall off.
And then they fall off. Yeah. And so, you know, listen, we realize, right, as nonprofit professionals, as fundraisers, right, time is, you know, of the essence, right? That's probably the one commodity that we all feel like we're short on. Well, and so I think there are probably some smart, you know, clever ways to sort of do some of that, you know, some automation, right? Making it really easy. You got to do what's right for you and, you know, meet your donors where they are. Right. But just making sure that you're doing that thinking and you're sharing that impact before you make the next ask. And that, I think, is really, really, really important.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. I want to go back to this concept of ease of giving for a minute.
Yes.
And then I know you're busy. I want to let you go. But I want to hit on this. I know Bloomerang is in the report has also identified some of that goes into that equation of what makes giving easy. What's your take on that?
I mean, I think fundraisers these days, like, you know, back, I'm going to date myself here, right, where checks were, you know, you were like, they were being mailed in and you
yes.
send them to, you know, a bachelor and they would sort of deposit them for you. And then, you know, we got into, you know, online and it was sort of this online fundraising, but it was sort of one sort of option there, right?
Yes.
You could go on, you could pay and you'd have to whip out your credit card.
First I had to find my credit card, Josh.
There's that too, right? And sort of type it out. And so, you know, there's so much more technology here, right, in that payment space, in that online fundraising space. And so I think it's really important to make sure that you have all of the avenues and you have it as easy as possible for people to donate. So this, you know, I think, you know, talks to how does your online donation form have Apple Pay? Like, can people just click the button and make the donation, right? Google Pay, right? Venmo, PayPal, right? All of these tools, right, that many of these online fundraising platforms, right, like yours, mine, like all of these, many of these vendors in here, but you often have to take that extra step to set it up. And I think that's so important because you want this experience to be as easy as possible for that donor, right? The other thing I think that's really we're seeing is like stock. Right. So if you're a big major donor, right, or maybe you've been making some monthly gifts and you want to make that end of the year gift, you're ready to sort of double down with the nonprofit and you want to make stock, but you go on another website and there's no information on how you can make that stock gift, right? That donor is going to add this level of friction,
yes,
right, that
exactly.
can complicate that transaction, or they can just walk away. And so I'm not saying, you know, that's the first thing you should do is have no information on stock giving on your website. But I do think like that should be part of the overall, you know, offering, right? Same thing with planned giving, right? Oftentimes we hear, you know, my donors are dying. I don't have enough donors, right? And we're talking to nonprofits and I said, you know, what kind of planned giving are you doing? Right. And are you telling your donors about sort of encouraging them to leave you in their will? Right. And if you're not doing that, right, like, well, of course your donors are dying and they're not losing, you know, revenue because you haven't done any of that planning. And so, you know, I get it. Like, I know nonprofit leaders. I was one of them, you know, as a fundraiser.
Sure.
There's wear so many hats. And so I think the key thing here is bite-sized things one thing at a time, right? So if you have online fundraising and you just haven't taken the time to turn on or activate Apple Pay or Google Pay, take that step, right?
Yeah.
If you've never received, if your organization has never received a stock gift, right? Okay, so look at some of the tools and systems out there and figure out what might make sense, or just set up a brokerage account, right? So at least you have that. So when someone wants to transfer stock to you, right, that they that you have that information available readily. And again, it's one thing at a time, right? Don't have to go run out and do this, but kind of think about it, you know, as a horizon, right? Maybe set it as a goal by the end of.
I think this is great. Super practical, Josh. You know, I think going back almost full circle in our conversation to that beautiful base of small gift donors, if you're listening today and you can take that next step to turn on Apple Pay, Google Pay, Venmo, PayPal, whatever it is to make that giving. And Josh, I'm going to borrow your word, frictionless. Take the friction out of that process. That's one thing that nonprofits can do today. That's an easy one.
Yes,
you know what? I look forward to it, Josh, every time.
Go.
Josh Meyer, everyone, VP Market Engagement from Bloomerang, joining here on Raise Nation Radio at AFP Icon 2025. All right, we are back at the One Cause booth at AFP Icon, and I'm sitting here with Jeremy Wells from the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Listen, folks, if you're tuning in again today, we were able to get Jeremy to join us here in the soft, cushy white chairs of the Raise Nation radio studio here on the show floor at Icon because he is an awardee of the AFP Awards. Yeah. So this is going to be fun, Jeremy. I mean, first of all, how's the show? Tell me how things are going for you this week.
It is something I look forward to every year, and so far it has not disappointed. As I mentioned earlier, I've been at every Icon since 2005. So 20 years now, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Man, there's a lot of life in the last 20 years.
It has been quite the arc, quite the trajectory, yes.
Yeah. What have you noticed over the 20 years at AFP Icon?
Yeah, I mean, the AFP is so good about being in the moment. And there have been a lot of moments, as you said, over the last 20 years. And so, you know, you ride the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the economy, the political environment, whatever happens to be. But I appreciate at the center of it all, fundraisers are still there meeting the moment for their communities, for their organizations, for the people they serve, and regardless of when we find ourselves. And so it's nice to be surrounded by other people that are contributing to the positive fabric of our society, even when it feels like there are a lot of headwinds externally right now.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about our sector is that we are all dispersed in our own communities, wherever we happen to be, unleashing good in so many different ways. And to be able to come together in a single place that one time a year, not that there aren't other great shows out there, but to be able to come together, it's really special.
It is. There's such an energy here, and it's so lovely not to have to explain what you do to someone when you start a conversation. You can just start the conversation.
I love that. Well, you know, on that note, I'm going to ask you what you do.
Sure, yeah.
Tell us and our listening audience a little bit about your organization, and then I'm excited to hear about the award.
Sure, yeah. Well, I have the privilege of working as the Senior Vice President of Philanthropic Services at the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation. So we are a community foundation, one of the largest in the country, I think number 13 out of almost 1,000 community foundations. We've been around for 85 years. And community foundations are place-based by nature, so we are a statewide foundation. We have a presence heavily in the east metro of the Twin Cities, the St. Paul area.
Okay.
But we have fund holders in 52 of the 87 counties across Minnesota. So we do fundraising, we do grant making, and we care about kind of broad community vitality. And so we have donors that care passionately about education, others about the arts, economic development, housing and homelessness, whatever the issue is, as long as it's contributing to the positive fabric of our society, we want to invest in that.
Oh, that's wonderful and inspiring. And this next question may bleed us into the topic of your award, but what's something in the last year or maybe even 2 years that you're particularly excited about going on back home?
So we launched a new strategic plan at the beginning of this year. So we worked on it the previous year, most of 2024, working on the plan. We just launched in January. I think it gives us a nice strategic direction for where we're going as a foundation. So, you know, broadly speaking, we do three things. We inspire generosity, we invest in community-led solutions, and we advocate for equity. And you can see that throughout this plan. And so I'm excited about that. But I'll tell you the thing I'm most proud of, having spent my career in fundraising 25 years this year, we've really stemmed this revolving door of fundraising professionals in and out. And so I had three staff members last year celebrate 10-year anniversaries with me at the foundation.
At your foundation.
Yep. I've had another one already this year, and I have three more that will celebrate over the next 12 months 10-year anniversaries. We've created an environment and a culture where people can thrive, where people find success, and I get more pleasure out of seeing their growth and success for my team than I do even anything that I've been able to do.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is, I mean, not just by the numbers, but where my mind is going, Jeremy, is the community that you have within a team of that longevity.
Correct. And in a relationship business, which fundraising is.
Yes.
They have such incredible relationships with their donors, with their fund holders, that many fundraisers never get the chance to experience. Because if you're moving every 2 years, every 3 years, you're just on the cusp of those deep, meaningful relationships with fund holders that you never get there. And so it's a disappointment that we still see that across our success or across our sector. But at the foundation, we're really pleased that we've been able to kind of push that aside and say, no, we're going to be about relationships here.
Yes. Now I'm going to ask you to do something really difficult.
Sure.
I need you to talk about yourself.
That's always tough.
You know what's coming. Tell us about this award.
Yeah. So the 2025 Outstanding Professional Fundraiser for AFP. As my son liked to brag to one of his friends, my dad's the best fundraiser in the world.
Yes.
And I said, not really what it is, but I appreciate the sentiment. You know, it really focuses on three things. So one of them is fundraising success. And I'm very proud over the last 25 years of what I've been able to accomplish, never on my own, always in partnership with others, colleagues, bosses, board members, staff. So that's one of the three aspects. The second one is commitment to AFP and the profession. And so I've had the pleasure of serving for 2 decades on a variety of AFP boards, task forces at the local level, at the global level. I had the pleasure of chairing the AFP Political Action Committee for a couple of years, the PAC board. I had an 8-year stint on the global governing board. So really trying to lean in because I do feel that strengthens the profession. And probably the piece I'm most proud of is that third pillar, which is leadership and mentoring. And so what I've been able to do in terms of sharing so much of what I glean from others and passing that along to that next generation, even when I was receiving the award yesterday on the main stage, it was fun to come out, to receive those accolades, to see so many faces I knew. But it was super exciting to be able to introduce the next generation. So the young professional award winners right after me, because that's paying it forward. And so I'm so grateful about that aspect of the award. And yeah, just really privileged that my boss thought to nominate me and the committee felt that I was deserving of receiving it this year.
Absolute congratulations.
Thank
to you.
You.
Congratulations for what is obvious fundraising success, this investment in AFP over these years. VS investment in people. And I love that breakdown. Thanks so much for sharing that with
Absolutely.
Us.
Yeah.
Well, you have our congratulations from the group here at One Cause. So good to have you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yes. All right. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us here at the Raise Nation Radio Studio in the One Cause booth at AFP Icon 2025. I'm Steve Lausch from One Cause, and it's been an honor to host Raise Nation Radio, bringing you the voices, the ideas, and the inspiration that are truly elevating impact across the nonprofit world. Huge thanks to AFP and all of the incredible changemakers who joined us this week. Until next time, keep raising your voice, your mission, and your impact.